You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show about all things marketing, advertising, and communications. Thank you for joining us today. I am your host, Ted. Today, we have with us Bobby Sawney from Ethnicity Matters. Bobby is a veteran and thought leader in the multicultural marketing and advertising industry. He was the head of multicultural marketing at Rogers Communications and has been a pioneer in developing and managing diversity and multicultural marketing initiatives for a number of best-in-class organizations. He's the co-founder and partner at Ethnicity Matters, a multicultural marketing and advertising agency dedicated to helping companies drive new growth and sales by engaging North America's fast-growing, big-spending, ethnic, and new immigrant communities. Bobby has earned national and international recognition for his work and thought leadership. He also loves teaching, having guest lectured at many universities, and regularly speaks at industry events and conferences across North America. Bobby has served a variety of advisory boards, including Imagine Canada, Siva Food Bank, Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer, and Credit Valley Conservation Foundation. Most recently, Bobby was elected to the Hockey Canada Board of Directors and is on a mission to help grow the game of hockey for all Canadians. Bobby earned his MBA from the Global Kellogg-Schulich Executive MBA Program with cross-cultural studies in Hong Kong, Germany, Miami, Chicago, and Toronto. He also holds a Bachelor of Science in Business degree from the University of Waterloo. Welcome, Bobby.
That was a long intro. Thank you. Good night. I think we're
good
done.
Night. We're done. We're done. Thank you.
It's been a slice. Thank you. No, thanks. Thanks for having me, Ted. I think it's a privilege and an honor to be here, and I'm looking forward to chatting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, what's your origin story? Every superhero has one. So why don't you start off?
If only I was a superhero. Sure. I'll tell you. I mean, I'll start right at the beginning. I was born and raised in Brantford, Ontario, Canada, which is the home of the telephone and also the home of Wayne Gretzky. So obviously it comes full circle with my Hockey Canada story. But born and raised in Brantford to immigrant parents. My parents immigrated to Canada from India in the 70s. So I had a wonderful childhood in Brantford, went to the University of Waterloo, where I did my undergraduate degree in science and business. And from there, I'd say, during the science and business program and really through the wonderful world of co-op and internships, I discovered the world of marketing. And so once I graduated university, I went to the most multicultural city in Canada, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, of course. No, just
very multicultural.
Very multicultural. I went to Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. And that's really where I discovered the world of multicultural marketing completely by accident. It was really out on the road in my first week, just doing some visits of lottery dealers or lottery retailers, getting a lay of the land. And really the observation I had was, wow, I'm in Northern Ontario and the makeup of Northern Ontario is very different than, you know, Southwestern Ontario and more specifically the Greater Toronto area. And a hypothesis I had was, hey, as more immigrants are coming to Canada and specifically Ontario and the Greater Toronto area, there might be a bit of a communication gap. There might be a little bit of a broken telephone game between companies like the Lottery Corporation, dealers that are effectively selling the products of the Lottery Corporation, and then ultimately the end consumer. A lot of different people, a lot of different language proficiencies, a lot of different preferences. So maybe there's a bit of a language gap or broken telephone going on here. Like I said, it was a complete hypothesis. I wrote that as a two-page overview of what I think, gave it to my director at the time. He scratched his head and said, interesting, never thought about this. Why don't you keep picking away at this? And essentially 6 months later, my full-time job became ethnic marketing or multicultural marketing at the OLG, and I really haven't looked back since then. So that's kind of the origin story. And after the Lottery Corporation, I went over to ICICI Bank, which is an Indian bank that came to Canada a number of years ago, and they were looking for somebody who not only understood, quote unquote, mainstream marketing in Canada, but hey, do you understand, how to position an Indian brand amongst, say, South Asians in Canada, or even amongst mainstream audiences in Canada? So that was quite an experience. And then I got recruited into Rogers, or headhunted into Rogers. And had a wonderful career at Rogers. I think to this day, a lot of people still know me as the Rogers multicultural guy. I just can't shake that reputation, and absolutely learn a lot about various multicultural communities and really how marketing in Canada is essentially changing. And what can I tell you from there? I went back to school. I did my executive MBA because I felt ultimately I'm going to want to become an entrepreneur. So I did the Kellogg-Schulich program with study experiences in Toronto, in Germany, in Hong Kong, in Miami, in Chicago. From there, before I became an entrepreneur, one of the best pieces of advice I got was, if you're going to run your own business, get some sales experience. If you don't have any, and especially the reason why you need sales experience is if you're going to be in business for yourself, number one, you gotta get used to selling. And more importantly, you got to get used to rejection as well. So I did a very short stint, about 8 months at the Toronto Star in a new content marketing agency that the Toronto Star had started. And 8 months after I left the security of and the comforts of the corporate world, my wife was pregnant with our second child and she was not working. And then, I quit my job, and that's when we started Ethnicity Multicultural Marketing. And that's kind of the origin, and I haven't really looked back since then.
Well, it's pretty fascinating. I mean, that's quite the journey, and you've been all over the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, you said Hong Kong, Germany, Miami. Like, were there any differences that you saw when it came to multicultural marketing in those different areas and those different parts of the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons why I did the executive MBA program I did was because it had this global component. And my thought again is, as Canada becomes more and more multicultural, we need to understand, not only from a marketing perspective, but just really from a business perspective, what makes consumers different and what makes cross-cultural business different across the different geographical and cultural boundaries. Not like the courses I was taking associated to the program were MBA or were multicultural marketing specific, but there was a large degree of cross-cultural business and cross-cultural marketing. And, just to live in and study in and interact with students, within those countries, but really students from across the world, and just, their understanding of business and really just business norms and practices, all sorts of nuances that we, as Canadian business leaders need to be aware of, because it's just such a different world out there. What is normal to the quote unquote average Canadian may be very different to an immigrant or an entrepreneur that might be coming here from, say, Asia or Europe or Latin America. One of the best examples I can give you, we had a course in Germany in cross-cultural marketing. And our final assignment was, you got to make a 5-minute skit on doing business in blank country, pick whatever country you want. And the skit's got to be funny. And the funnier it is, the higher your marks are going to be. Okay, sounds easy enough. We're in groups. So my group consisted of myself, a Canadian, an American, 3 Germans, and a Russian. I can tell you that to do a 5-minute skit, it took us 4 days to figure out, firstly, come to a consensus of, well, which country are we going to pick? What's funny in across these communities? Because I can tell you, humor amongst, say, Canadians or Americans is very different than humor for a Russian or a German. and trying to explain, hey guys, this is funny. No, this is really funny. To, you know, a small group of five individuals, it was a really tough exercise, but very eye-opening as well. You know, and you think about, you know, the application for that for me, or the parallel draw is, you think about marketing and advertising in Canada, and we think of, you know, what we see in mass media or quote mainstream, you know, advertising. What's funny to one individual or one group of people may not resonate with other cultures. We are not a homogeneous country by any means. I mean, just look at Quebec as an example. What is funny in Toronto and Vancouver is not necessarily going to fly in Montreal or vice versa. So we really have to pay attention to those nuances across cultures, the fact that we are all very unique. Because it was very much an eye-opening experience, and I can tell you, I'm still on a journey learning, and I've been at this for 20 years, so I think we all have a lot to learn in this space.
So, have you brushed up on your Russian stand-up comedy? You know, have you watched any on Netflix or anything like that, or the Russian equivalent of that?
I walk down the streets of Moscow, and I've got people tearing my clothes off, and I'm signing autographs left and right. Absolutely not. But it was really eye-opening for me to understand, even just to be able to connect with, you know, my classmates in a situation like this, to really understand in some ways how similar we are, but also how different and unique we are. Yeah. You know, one of the eye-opening experiences for me is I'm very much a pro-Canadian, and we're often, you know, we often think about how, hey, we are very different than Americans as well. You know, that's something that we all in Canada talk about. But when you are outside of Canada, or if you're outside of North America, you actually see certain commonalities and common patterns. And I would say in this particular case, when we're talking about humor, myself and the American were like jiving. Yeah, we had an understanding. We were like, yeah, that's so funny. And whether it was based on sarcasm or whatever it might be, you know, that was hilarious to us. Whereas the Germans in this case were like, that's not funny. Like, it's just, you know, it's really interesting to see those nuances there.
Well, then with humor being absolutely something that I think is really in the moment and specific to a particular culture. Do you in marketing use humor then? Or because like you just said, it's so different, or is it, you know, hiring the right writers or how do you do that?
All of the above, to be honest. I mean, I think what we have to look at, especially in the world that I come from in multicultural marketing, really the goal is to find cultural relevancy. You know, with the consumers or the communities that we are speaking to, you know, some of the cues that we look for, you know, right off the bat are images, style, and language, right? I mean, I think we all have heard how much representation matters. Mm-hmm. And when we see, you know, positive portrayals of ourselves reflected in media, in mainstream, in film and television, whatever it might be, it makes us feel like that particular company or that brand or organization is speaking directly to us. Feels like that they have recognized us as important consumers, and we're able to relate from that perspective. You know, language, a lot of people think, well, the default is if I translate my advertising, I'm going to connect with these audiences. And in a lot of cases, absolutely. Language, you know, having your communication in the language of comfort for a particular audience or a consumer group, absolutely, that is what's required. But in a case, and I'll use humor again, you know, English is spoken in Canada, English is spoken in the UK, English is spoken in Jamaica, English is spoken in India. But again, the ideas of humor across all of these, you know, cultural communities or countries is going to be very different. So we can't assume that just because we have a communication in a particular language, we are going to connect or resonate with a particular audience. And lastly, for me, it's style. And I think style has to do with, it could be everything from humor or certain themes, you know, that are going to resonate with cultural communities, and certain ones will not. I think the reason I say all this is when brands or organizations do want to tap into the growth of the ethnic and new immigrant communities, there's not a cookie cutter set formula out there that says, hey, if you translate your ads, you're going to do fine. Or if you put a couple of, you know, some diverse talent in your ad, you're going to hit a home run. There's an art and science to this practice. And like I said, for myself, I've been at it for 20 years and I still feel like we're just getting started. You know, I still feel like we're scratching the surface. So I think it's a very powerful marketing tool. I think all businesses, especially operating in Canada, need to understand how to connect with these communities. But it's not something that we can just, you know, flip the switch and say, hey, we're multicultural now. All right, let's party. So it doesn't work.
Absolutely. Out. And I'm always curious because, you know, I myself, being a first generation immigrant, I think that's what we call it. My parents are from Hong Kong. And you know, I have clients come to me and go, you know, we want to tap into the X community and Y community. And yeah, to your point, it's just like, we want to translate, or we want to, you know, leverage some motif from that culture. And for myself, it's like, well, that's kind of like cultural appropriation. You really want to steer clear of that. How do you educate, and maybe for the people listening today, like as marketers, how do we educate those that we're working with about those sensitivities, especially around like today with, you know, Truth and Reconciliation, Black Lives Matter, you know, Stop Asian Hate, all that kind of stuff that's going on. Yeah. How does marketing play a role, and how do we stay sensitive to every group, but still forward our clients' message?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. Let me actually back it up and create a level playing field for everybody, you know, that might be listening. Number one macro factor that we have to understand is that Canada is an aging population, right? Number two, we as a country don't have enough babies. I'm doing my part. I just had my third baby a few months ago.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you, man. I'm doing what I can as a proud Canadian to contribute to population growth. So I encourage everybody else to do the same. So anyway, aging population, not having enough babies. Because of those two reasons, that is why we have such an aggressive immigration policy in Canada. You know, the reality is that if there was no immigration in Canada by the year 2031, we would actually have a declining population. And that is very dangerous for a country of our size. If you don't have population growing, you know, you don't have people that are doing the work, you don't have people paying the taxes, and we essentially lose our whole infrastructure that we depend on. So immigration, in essence, is a growth strategy for the country. It's got to be a growth strategy for every company. Now, that being said, as immigrants come to Canada, they bring with them habits or experiences or preferences from back home, something that I collectively call their cultural baggage. This is not meant to be a derogatory term in any way. It's essentially their preferences and their experiences that they're bringing from back home to Canada. Now, that is something that Canadian companies really need to understand. Because depending on the category that you operate in or your particular brand, either they have an experience with you from back home or they don't. In both cases, that's an opportunity for each and every company in Canada. But you as a company need to figure out, well, what side of the coin are you on so you can actually develop your strategies accordingly. If they have no experience with the category, if they have no experience with your brand, you have a blank slate. It's blue ocean. You can essentially paint whatever picture you want in the minds of those consumers. You can make it be whatever you want it to be. However, if they have experience interacting within a certain category or brand from back home, you have to figure out how can you leverage, you know, that mindset or the insights from back home, and what is that going to mean for them in life in Canada now today? That's kind of the you know, the essence of what we're looking at here. The one step further, though, is, and this is what you had touched upon earlier, there is diversity within diversity as well. You know, we cannot assume that there is a one-size-fits-all for all different ethnic communities. And that is where we're treading a fine line and almost getting into things like stereotyping and cultural appropriation and all those sort of things. You know, I often have clients come to me and say, Bobby, we want to reach the South Asian community, full stop. And my question to them is, great, I happen to be a South Asian. My mother happens to be a South Asian. My wife happens to be a South Asian. Who are you trying to reach? Because we are all very different. What I'm going to buy, where I'm going to buy it, when I'm going to buy it, how I'm going to buy it, will very likely be very different than the habits of my mother or even my wife. So as organizations, as marketers, we can't forget, you know, our traditional marketing frameworks and tools of understanding our customer. Ethnicity is one layer. It's one dimension. It is absolutely, it matters. There is a lot that we can learn from an individual's ethnicity in terms of what their preferences might be. But again, that is a starting point. We really have to peel back the onion, the layers, and really understand a little bit more about the consumer as well.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In your travels marketing to so many different communities, have you found any common ground? You know, I mean, you talked about having babies. I mean, I have a kid, right? And everyone cares about their family and doing well and taking care of what's theirs. And so any common ground that you've seen that maybe we can tap into?
100%. I mean, and I think that is where, you know, that is where strategy is so important as well, right? I think there is absolutely a number of universal truths, not just amongst, you know, multicultural communities or new immigrant communities, but just all of us as humans as well, right? So there's absolutely going to be common denominators that we can tap into. And if we can uncover those commonalities or those common denominators, that's where you're going to get a lot of marketing efficiencies as well. You know, that is where you can come up with a big idea or a campaign, and that same big idea is relevant amongst multiple ethnic communities. Whereas I think what scares a lot of individuals that are, you know, thinking about multicultural marketing or have even engaged in multicultural marketing, they're thinking, oh my God, there's so many different language groups, there's so many cultural communities, we can't be everything for everyone, we don't have budget, you know, to support all these different communities, let's just keep doing what we've always done. Again, the reality is if you take the time, if you have a cohesive and sound strategy that looks across, you know, the various growth targets that you might have out there, what are the commonalities? What are the common denominators? Like you just said babies as an example. You know, I told you that as Canadians, we're not having enough babies, but I can tell you it's the immigrant communities that buck that trend. South Asian and African immigrants actually have more babies than the general population. Household size amongst Chinese and South Asian is greater than the general population. So family is very important. Children is very important. You know, there's a lot of other themes that I could tap into. It could be passion points. Certain sports, certain types of music, certain types of entertainment. You know, if you take a game like cricket as an example, it is a massive game played in India as an example. But guess what? Commonwealth countries all play cricket. So you take one sport like cricket, you have an opportunity to tap into countries or communities like India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, the UK, Australia, South Africa, the Caribbean. Like it just, there's a lot of opportunity out there if we take the time to actually understand what are some of the common denominators that we can tie together.
In terms of stats, like a lot of our clients, you know, we talk about, let's just not do a bunch of vanity type marketing, but you know, they really ultimately care about impacting the bottom line. That's one part of any business success. So do you have any stats or any kind of data that you share with your clients when you meet with them to talk about why making this move into multicultural marketing makes sense for their business?
Yeah, absolutely. So if we look on a macro basis, The Canadian population today, it's one in five is foreign born. So 20% of the population. That today is equivalent to the size of the province of Quebec. So most companies that are operating in Canada have realized that if we want to win in Quebec, as an example, we need a unique strategy. We need a unique game plan. We can't just take our, you know, whatever is working for us in Ontario or the rest of English-speaking Canada and hope for the best in Quebec. We need a unique approach. The same holds true for the multicultural and new immigrant communities. The but to that is, you know, I mentioned today it's one in five Canadians being foreign born. In the next 10, 15 years, that's going to go to one in three. So multicultural is increasingly becoming the majority. So one way, you know, whether we like it or not today, right now I'm calling it multicultural marketing, and I'm almost, you know, telling companies and corporations that they need to focus on this audience as a unique segment. They need to tap into the unique insights. And if you do so, you're going to grow your business. The reality is in the next 10, 15, 20 years, that's really going to be reflective of what mass marketing is. That is what who the majority is going to be. So we all need to understand how this demographic shift is changing the face of the country, you know, for the masses as well, not just from a, you know, a siloed or niche multicultural opportunity. Multicultural is absolutely becoming the majority. If I had to further, you know, make the argument of why multicultural, you know, I'll use an example of, you know, a CPG company or a grocery store or even a bums and seats type of business like movie theaters or concerts or sporting events. The average household size of an ethnic household, and I'll use Chinese and South Asian as you know, just for example, they're greater than the national average. So the ROI of targeting an ethnic household is actually greater. Why? Because there's more mouths to feed, there's more potential bums and seats as well. The other interesting nugget, you know, when it comes to these communities, and I think you would, you know, we touched on this as well, with so many of these communities, family is so imperative to them. You know, I'll take the movie theater business as an example. You could be selling tickets to a Hollywood blockbuster to a quote unquote mainstream audience, and you might be selling two tickets at a time. You have a family friendly movie. Look, it could be a Bollywood movie for all for that matter. You're going to be selling 12 tickets at a time. Why? Because you're going to have mom, dad, kids, uncles, aunts, grandparents, the neighbors all coming out to watch that film. Obviously, I'm generalizing here. That's not the case for everybody. So everybody listening, you know, on the line, don't go all crazy. I'm making a bit of a generalization there. But the reality is that even in that family structure, there are differences that we have to understand. And we can tap into those differences to actually help our business growth. And I can tell you also that these changes in demographics in Canada is actually shifting the way companies are doing business. Forget marketing. I mean, if you look at the grocery store industry, you've got all sorts of grocers that are, they could be, you know, buying ethnic grocery chains like TNT supermarkets. Well, that's what Loblaws did a number of years ago. They could be creating completely separate brands like Cello Fresco, which is what Sobeys had done a number of years ago to cater to the South Asian audience. We've got all sorts of brands that are engaged in product development, you know, looking at the unique tastes as an example, or palettes of ethnic communities, and how do we better engage them? I'll even tell you about home builders in Canada. You know, the fact that many of these ethnic households do have larger families, extended families, many of the homes being built in certain suburban subdivisions are being built with two master bedrooms standard, as an example. Why? Because you've got, you know, mom and dad, and then you've got the, whether it's the in-laws or the grandparents or whatever it might be. I mean, that's just showing how, you know, the dynamics are shifting and changing of business. Marketing is one piece of the puzzle, but business is changing. And I think it's fascinating.
You know what? That's absolutely true. My company does a lot of work with the local Vancouver Home Builders Association. A lot of the builders here absolutely are building to that marketplace. I remember walking, doing a tour around one of the spec homes that one of my clients was building, and they had a back kitchen. Back kitchen for a lot of people in my culture, Chinese culture, is for the frying, so that you fry all the food in the stinky part of the back kitchen. Absolutely. Where nobody sees, and then you have the bigger kitchen so that you can, you know, actually cook for everybody and show off a little bit, right? And so that is true, and that's a very interesting point. I want to move to digital. So on the digital front, you talked about, you know, bums and seats and whatnot, but I want to talk about apps. So, you know, the different platforms, we all know Facebook, Twitter, Insta, right, Pinterest. But there are multicultural niche platforms as well. Being Chinese, I know about WeChat.
Yeah.
Is there other platforms that you would advise your clients to focus on when they're making their multicultural marketing strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one end of the spectrum, like you just mentioned, is understanding, it could be apps, it could be media for that matter, just on a macro basis, understanding the media that is unique to ethnic audiences. Like you mentioned, WeChat, obviously. If you are a company that's trying to engage Chinese consumers, you got to have a WeChat strategy in some capacity. Doesn't necessarily mean you need to have an official account or whatnot, but you've got to understand how to use this as a tool to engage this audience, because it's just, you know, the vast majority of Chinese in Canada are interacting or engaged in WeChat in one capacity or another. There's a number of other apps and platforms out there that are specific to ethnic communities. Like there's a Korean version of WeChat as an example. I can't remember what the name is just now, but there's an app specific to that community. But I think what's also interesting is how we can understand to use more, call it your traditional apps and platforms, like a Facebook, like an Instagram, like a Twitter, WeChat, LinkedIn. How can we use these platforms to engage ethnic audiences as well? And there's a lot of things that we can do. Data is so powerful now, right? We don't have to guess anymore. There's so much that we can do to understand these consumers a little bit better and actually use some of these tools to engage them as well. You know, Facebook, as an example, you can identify audiences based on their preferences or other things that they are liking. So if it is cricket, if it is Bollywood, if it is whatever it might be, there's a lot of different ways in to use even some of these more traditional platforms to identify ethnic audiences and engage with them as well.
Awesome. Okay, let's move on to sports.
Sure.
So I checked out your video, your Hockey Canada Board of Directors video on your LinkedIn, on your Facebook, and showed you and your brothers playing hockey and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you grew up in Wayne Gretzky Town. I'm surprised they haven't changed it to Gretzky Town yet. But
yeah,
tell me about that and how that came about. You look pretty fit. COVID, you know, and all, you look pretty fit. We're looking at each other for the audiences, just so you know. And you know, just wanted to understand how you got in there, and that's a very exciting opportunity. What your hope is in terms of your contribution?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, look, growing up, I mean, I'm born and raised in Canada, and like a lot of kids growing up in this country that were fans of hockey, it was a dream to, you know, represent your country and play for Team Canada. So, you know, when I was first introduced to hockey, I think I was probably about 7 or 8 years old by, you know, some very good family friends of mine who I would consider brothers of mine. They introduced me to the game. You know, played road hockey and floor hockey like a lot of other kids, but always wanted to play ice hockey. But the reality is I couldn't skate, number one, and I didn't really have anyone to teach me to skate either. My parents are Indian immigrants. They don't know anything about hockey. Always encouraged me to play sports and that sort of thing. But it's something I never really pursued, you know, to the fullest. The other reason was, growing up in Canada, again, by the time you're 7 and 8, some kids are on skates, you know, by the time they're 1 or 2 years old, like
before they can walk.
Born. Exactly. Yeah. So I felt like I had missed my window of opportunity. So I was more than happy just playing, you know, road hockey and floor hockey and that sort of thing. Fast forward to, you know, I was in my mid 30s. I had my first child, my first son, Jordan. And I was talking to my wife, who actually happens to be an Australian, so doesn't know anything about hockey either. And I said,
she knows cricket, I imagine.
She knows cricket. She taught me cricket as well. But I told her, I said, you know what? I always wanted to play ice hockey and I never did it. Now we have a son. What if he wants to learn how to play? And I said, you know, I want to be a part of that experience. So I actually, at age 35, joined a learn to play league.
That's awesome.
And you know, convinced five other buddies to come with me and, hey, it'll be fun. Let's do it. I think I was able to convince them because we were all at a bachelor party in Miami. And I think it was, you know, the middle of the night and everybody was a few drinks down and everybody said, yeah, let's go play ice hockey. So
liquid
anyway,
courage, baby.
We did that for a year. And basically ever since then, you know, fell in love with ice hockey, and have just wanted everybody, to try the sport, play it. And I think where things really started to change for me was, you know, my kids play the sport now, you know, and I look back to when I was a kid and I'm like, man, if I had started playing when I was 7 or 8 years old, I mean, what would my life be like today? I don't think I would have ever made it to the NHL or anything like that, but I feel like it's such an important part of my life now because I think it's so much fun. And I just feel like, you know, I don't want anyone to miss out. So I think now, you know, fast forward to being elected to the board of Hockey Canada, which is it's such an honor to be a part of that. And like I've often said, I feel now like I'm playing for Team Canada, but it's in the boardroom versus the ice. But I think what's so interesting and unique about this experience is, you know, I want to be at the table and to ensure that the game is accessible to as many people as possible, you know, irrespective of ethnicity or religion or gender or economic class or whatever it might be. Let's make this sport as accessible to as many people as possible. Let's get as many people playing the sport as possible. Absolutely, we want to see, obviously, we want to continue to dominate on the international level. But hey, even if it just means we got kids, you know, that are learning to skate and to shoot a puck around, you know, that's more than enough. And the other thing that I will say that I have now learned now, being a hockey parent as well and seeing my kids go through hockey, you know, there's so much that we can learn. Kids can learn, parents can learn from this sport as well. Everything from, you know, sportsmanship to discipline to winning and losing to just getting out of your comfort zone as well. It's a game that has a lot to offer to Canadians, to all Canadians, including newcomers coming to this country. So I'm definitely on a mission to you know, try and get as many people playing the sport as possible. So Ted, if you haven't started playing or, you know, your family's not into it, I highly recommend it. It'll change your life.
That's fantastic. I mean, just like yourself, you know, childhood immigrant, I didn't learn to ice skate really until I was 29. And the only reason was because my wife, when she was growing up, did figure skating. And she kind of always said, oh, I wish, you know, we could go skating together on a date. And it was one of our anniversaries. I snuck away and pretended I was going to martial arts class or whatever I was doing and took some secret, you know, skating lessons at 29. And it was me and four other ladies from Afghanistan, right? So, and they were like, hey, your English is good. So, you know, didn't you learn to skate here? I'm like, no, where were you born? I'm like, Canada, like very, you know, embarrassed, like a Canada, but that happens. And I think that's great. I wanted to pick your brain on the sports diversity inclusion, right? You're hearing about things in NFL, NHL, obviously as well, different sports arenas. And given, you know, your kids are playing in this sport and it's predominantly growing up, my hockey heroes were didn't look like you and me, right? They looked kind of more mainstream. And so, how do you talk to your kids about that? Or is the landscape different? How do you educate the board of Hockey Canada? Is there, you know, any insights there?
Yeah, I think sports is an interesting, just the whole field of sports is so interesting from a multicultural perspective. If I look at it from a business perspective, if you look at professional sports leagues and teams in Canada, they've got work to do in terms of engaging their future fans. And this is the same argument for any other business in Canada. There's a demographic shift going on in Canada. You've got to figure out how to be relevant to that changing face of the country. And if you are not, you will slowly become irrelevant. Or there's an ethnic entrepreneur out there that's going to figure out how to fill the gap that you might be leaving. So for really all the sports teams, leagues at various levels, everybody has some work to do to figure out, well, what does our sport mean to the various diverse communities out there in Canada? I think what you will see in the coming years, again, it's just, we see it right across Canada. Multicultural is increasingly becoming more and more mainstream. We see it in, you know, the highest levels in politics. We see it in entertainment. We see it in media. We're starting to see it in sports and entertainment more often now as well. So I think we will start to see more representation of diverse communities in professional sports, you know, in the next, call it generation or so. But I think a lot of it also starts with creating more positive experiences in sports and showcasing that sports is for everybody. And anyone can become that professional hockey player, basketball player, soccer player, football player, whatever it might be. You know, I often look at the U.S., you know, the fact that I remember growing up hearing, oh, there will never be a black president in the U.S., you know, we saw Barack Obama get elected, right? We now have seen a half black, half South Asian female vice president in the U.S. And if that doesn't tell you that anything is possible, like, I don't know what else would. So for me, I think the more we see and create more positive experiences for diverse communities in sports as a whole, you know, the more we're going to see representation of diverse communities at all levels of the sports as well. And for me, you know, in particular in hockey, absolutely, I would love to see more diversity on the ice, right? But we've got to see it in all aspects of the game. The fact that in this country, Hockey Night in Canada is being broadcast in Punjabi, that's a huge indicator of what this sport means in Canada and really how influential and how important the ethnic communities are as well. So I think we've got to see it in all aspects of the sport, within the sport itself, behind the scenes, behind the benches, in marketing, in business, in ticket sales, in sponsorship sales, in development, right across the board, we've got to see that.
That's awesome. I'm going to move a little bit to, I think, I'm not sure if it's a sensitive topic or not, but I was thinking, you know, coming from multicultural families, you and I, we come from fairly traditional backgrounds, right? And so gender equality, I think, has been something that has been talked about a lot, obviously, in the mainstream. There's the Me Too movement and all those kinds of things. And is there, like, what do we need to do from our standpoint, from being members of our community, to promote that part of the diversity inclusion conversation? Because, you know, that part of marketing is important too, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's where, you know, I talked about the notion of cultural baggage comes in, you know, so important. I think there's certain cultural nuances and experiences from back home that we need to be aware of, but we also have to be aware of life in Canada and what life in Canada means and how it's can be very different than anything that has been experienced before. I say for certain individuals in certain communities, you know, women are at the forefront of all things, you know, be it business, medicine, politics, you know, whatever it might be. And I think that's something that needs to be continued to be celebrated as well. There's other cultural communities, again, the role of the woman might be a little bit different back home. So I think, again, as, you know, as brands and organizations look at diversity within Canada, they need to also understand the experiences of the various genders and what they may have been exposed to back home, but also what it could be and should be here in Canada as well. You know, I've talked to many organizations that will have or will be creating a strategy to engage more women, you know, whatever it might be for their brand. What I like to remind them of is that, look, even amongst women, there is diversity within diversity. The experiences of a Chinese woman might be very different than the experiences of a woman that was, you know, born and brought up in Canada or the UK or another part of the world. Like, we have to understand that there are these differences, these nuances, and by understanding and uncovering these nuggets, that's how we're going to actually be more meaningful to as many customers as possible.
Okay, awesome. Well, let's go into lightning round. I wanted to just fire off some questions and kind of get to know Bobby a little bit.
Sure.
All right. Favorite childhood movie?
Favorite childhood movie? You know, of late, it's kind of come back to Karate Kid. You know, I used to love the Karate Kid as a kid. It's like I forgot all about it.
You watch Cobra Kai?
Oh my God, I love Cobra Kai.
It was so bad and so good at the same time.
100%. And yeah, it's all, I think it's all about the Karate Kid.
Favorite business book or marketing book you've read as of late that you want to share?
It's actually an old book. It's got the worst title in the world, but it's Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's not the book you want to be, you know, sitting at on a beach reading, because people walking by think that you've got, you know, you might be socially awkward and don't know how to make friends. But it is a very important business book, and I think the teachings in that book are so timeless and universal that everybody should be reading that book. And I was only introduced to it a few years ago, but just reading it has just, I agree with everything in that book. So definitely read that book.
Yeah, I agree. I was probably one of the first books I read for self-improvement, you know, early on in my career. And I just remember thinking, you know, wow, this is from the 1920s or something like that, was it from? And yet it was still so applicable today.
100%.
So I think that's great. What about any life hacks? Any life hacks that you can share?
A life hack? Oh, gosh. Give me an example. Just prompt me.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. My daughter just taught me a life hack. So we went to Starbucks the other day, and she ordered a Trenta, the bigger one, the biggest size of some kind of kiwi strawberry lemonade, and ordered 4 cups of ice.
Okay.
And basically made 4 tall drinks out of one order, and she saved her friends $7. So instead of having 4 orders, they ordered 1 big drink and split it into, you know, 4 tall drinks. Pretty good.
That is pretty money awesome. Saving. I'm Indian, and we have a lot of hacks. I'm just, for some reason, I'm blanking on them now, but let me think about it and get back to you on that one.
All right, cool. Piece of advice that you would give somebody that is starting out in this journey, be it someone that's a seasoned multicultural marketer, someone that's just graduated and getting in, what's the biggest piece of advice you could give them?
I'll probably give 2 pieces of advice. One for anyone, you know, looking at multicultural marketing as a field, but also I think from an entrepreneurship standpoint as well, I think I can give some advice. So first piece of advice, I think this is absolutely a journey, and you've got to look at it as if you are helping to write the book. There's no book to read on this. The biggest thing in multicultural marketing that I feel is you've got to have curiosity and empathy for people, and really understand you got to take the blinders off, and we cannot assume that what is going to be relevant and what will relate to you will do it for all other communities. And I think if you can go into that knowing that people are different, and what I'm going to like and what I'm going to buy and what I'm not going to buy might be different than the next person, I think that is what will make you a successful multicultural marketer. It does not matter your ethnicity. It does not matter if you speak different languages. I think you just have to understand that people are different and they have different needs, and we have to be able to cater to those different needs. I think as an entrepreneur, you know, the one message I would have or advice I would give is again, to go into this with eyes wide open. It's not for everybody. I think one of the biggest misconceptions when it comes to entrepreneurship, and I remember so many people saying this to me when I first started the company, they'd say, oh, wow, congrats. You are your own boss now. You get to be your own boss. The reality is, when you are a business owner, especially in the services industry like marketing and advertising, you may have gone from having one boss to having multiple bosses now. Your clients are your bosses. You have a lot of people to answer to. And the bigger your company grows, as great as growth is, you are now accountable not only for your own paycheck, but for everybody else's paycheck as well. And you know, the number of families and individuals you're potentially touching, and people are counting on you. So the notion of, oh, you get to be your own boss is such a misconception. Because you are absolutely going from one boss to multiple bosses.
Agreed. That is actually something that one of my professors told me when I first started out on my own. He's like, oh, so you want to have many bosses. You don't want just one. And yeah. I was like, I didn't get that until I think I had about a dozen clients. And I was like, he was right. But, you know, there's some fun in it too.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
What about for those that are... They made a gaffe, right? They made some kind of, maybe it was not deliberate or whatever. Obviously, I don't think anyone is out there to maliciously attack anybody in marketing, but you know, gaffes happen, mistakes happen. And you know, with the age of social media, you get trolled for any missteps. And I think a lot of people might be afraid to jump into this arena for fear that they're going to get attacked. So What do you suggest for those that have made a gaffe or worry they're going to make a mistake?
Yeah, no, I think transparency and authenticity is so important, not just in this field and in marketing or multicultural marketing, but just in life and business in general, right? People want to know that you are, again, authentic, you are real. If you made a mistake, you got to admit to it. You've got to fess up to it. But really be, I think, deliberate about what your intentions are as well. I think people shouldn't necessarily shy away from things just because they may make a mistake or they have made a mistake. If they admit they've made a mistake, they can learn from that and then course correct as well. I have found that people, in most cases, will be forgiving of you if you fess up and admit your mistakes, but again, admit your intentions as well. I know in the field of multicultural marketing, sometimes some organizations they don't necessarily go about it for the right reasons, and they're not fully authentic and transparent about what they're trying to accomplish. But the companies that do have that commitment, you know, from leadership, right from the top down, and understand that, hey, this is about being more to all of our customers, not just some of our customers. And because we know that there's no one size fits all for customers, and we want to understand how to better service them. And along the way, we might make some mistakes in that pursuit of being more things to more people, then that's okay. So as long as they confess up to the mistakes and be very deliberate about what their intentions are, I think they'll be absolutely forgiven.
So basically, authenticity and focus.
Authenticity matters.
Authenticity in ethnicity marketing matters. There we go.
There you go. Hey, that's like a new company right there.
There's your tagline. There's your tagline, your new tagline for 2021. Okay, well, hey, Bobby, thank you very much for your time today. It was great to meet you and learn more about what you've done in your decades of experience. And congrats on the being on the board of Hockey Canada and playing for Team Canada.
Thank you.
All right, man. So any last life hacks? Anything? Got anything?
Cobra Kai never dies.
You know, my wife has a life hack that I found out last night. She abandons her cart. So she goes very much to the very last step.
Okay.
Of a cart, yeah. And she abandons it because apparently some, I don't do enough online shopping to know this, they will send you deals now. Oh, hey, you forgot about your sunglasses. Here's 10% off.
Yes.
She does that. She has millions of abandoned carts in many different online accounts. How she saves us money.
You know, one life hack that I learned about actually only after becoming a parent is when you're traveling anywhere with a stroller, like you get VIP access to a lot of places. Like you, if people dread traveling with kids, but you are also ushered to the front of the line in so many cases if you're traveling with kids or with a stroller. So have those babies contribute to the Canadian population and good things will happen.
Yes, yes. I think the message of the day is have more babies,
have
everybody.
Have more babies, absolutely. Have more babies.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.